Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
We'll pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Eagle Hour on a Thursday, live from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg. And Laurel, thank you for joining us. Luke Johnson, Kelly Sanner, Michael Mergens. Good show for you today. Coming up in our second segment, Louisiana Monroe Warhawk baseball head coach Mike Federico, former Golden Eagle, will be joining us to preview this coming series from the Monroe side. Kelly and I will talk about seeding in the Sun Belt tournament, as well as some breaking news in the last 24 hours from the NCAA Division I Council regarding NIL and transfers, all that coming up. But our first segment brought to you every day by Dickey's Barbecue, located in a community near you. Dickey's, some of the best smoked meats anywhere, brisket, chicken, sausage, it's all there. Pulled pork at your local Dickey's. Appreciate their sponsorship of the Eagle Hour. Kelly, it is softball-wise, it is Louisiana this week. And dang it, somebody's got to break the record sooner or later.
No, well, I hate it for Louisiana. They drew the short straw. The Lady Eagles are playing tough right now. They swept Georgia State last weekend, and Coach Natalie Poole joins us on the show. Coach, great series last weekend, and really, could the young women be playing any better? Heading into, it's not really even an argument, going in against Louisiana, who's the best team in the league and hasn't lost a series and a conference series and over 80-some series. So you got your work cut out for you, but you're playing well.
Yeah, definitely, you know, it's nice to have kind of, you know, get some other games underneath our belt in conference before facing UL. I think that was, you know, tough for us last year. You know, we kind of opened up with the toughest teams that were doing the best in Sun Belt and have been a part of Sun Belt for some time. And so I was kind of like, welcome to Sun Belt play. And, you know, luckily we've been able to play some other series kind of leading up to this. And so we definitely are in a position where we kind of know what we're up against, and you kind of know who's going to be stepping up for their team. And then also just to come off of a weekend where we did sweep was important. You know, we needed to be doing that. We need to be taking steps forward in conference. And last year we took 2 of 3 from Georgia State, and so to be able to pull away with all three was important for us when it comes to seeding, but also important to our program.
Well, you're only 2/3 of the way through the season, but even so, with plenty of games left to play, Hannah Borden has broken the record for home runs. I mean, what a terrific player, and what a leader she has been. Tell us more.
Yeah, and I know you've had a chance to visit with her a couple of times
right
over there, and she's a pleasant person to be around. She's just a good human, you know, and so you like to see people like that really thrive at this sport and be able to enjoy the benefits of the things that they have to offer the sport, and she is. And, you know, she has settled in and over the last couple of years just kind of stepped up since we've been here and worked on a few things that would kind of take her game to another level. And now to be accomplishing such a great feat and, you know, career number of home runs in this program, there's a lot to be said about that. I'm just super proud of her. I'm super proud of her knowing what she wants and then going after it and, you know, in some ways probably even exceeding maybe what she thought she was capable of doing. But seeing herself do it, you know, you just begin to build confidence, and you can see that play out when she's at the plate, you know, and love that. And, you know, she broke another kid's record here, Megan Hill, who was holding down that record. And since then, Megan has sent her a really kind note, just excited to celebrate her in achieving that feat.
Coach, let's talk about another Lady Eagle that when you look at Borden on the offensive side, she's the Dalton McIntyre of your team, right at 400, batting 398. But Jana Lee, batting 344, mm-hmm. also a starting pitcher, gave up one run over 14 innings against Georgia State. She's having a tremendous season as well.
She is, and offensively, like if I could tell you how many times she's squared up a ball and just like to the outfield and on a nose, and it's hit somebody in the glove standing on the warning track. Like she's squared up some really hard balls. So she offers something really good on the offensive side, and we have a ton of confidence in what she brings to the plate as well. And literally, like it's Hannah and then Jaina. So, like, you're going to deal with one of the two, you know, whenever you are pitching against them. And so she's been a lot of fun to watch at the plate, but also this weekend was really a stellar weekend for her and really proud of her for that. In the first game, she ended up being able to achieve that win in about 90-something pitches. And then she had to throw about 20 more in that second game, but she threw a lot this weekend, a lot of pitches, and found ways to beat people, you know, six and seven times when they've come to the plate throughout the weekend. And to me, that's where you see strength as a pitcher, just being able to adjust as they adjust and still finding ways to beat them.
We're visiting with Southern Miss head softball coach Natalie Poole in her second year. Coach, we asked you this before the season, kind of in year two, because this is a rebuild of this program. We asked you, you know, some of the things that you were continuing in year two culture-wise to infuse. Now halfway through, or more than halfway through year two, what are you seeing that's catching on among the ladies and being able to rebuild this program?
Yeah. A little bit of resiliency, you know, a little bit more toughness, you know, an understanding of what elevation looks like. Elevation should be uncomfortable. It should be challenging because you're trying to elevate something. So a little bit of grittiness, a little bit of fight, a little bit more having some resiliency in some moments, and then just being the aggressor, you know. And so that's been a lot of fun to watch because we have seen growth in those places and just belief that you are capable of doing these things and achieving these things. And, you know, I'm proud to say that we've, at this point, we still have 9 games to go, you know, in conference, but we've surpassed our number of wins that we had last year in the Sun Belt. And so for us, like, while the next 9 games are going to be really challenging, you know, because we got a couple of those teams in the top 25 and bordering that, and, you know, and some others that have just achieved great things, but, you know, like, what can we do with that? And just kind of knowing that that's what we've been building towards is just this grittiness and this fight to do better and to elevate this program.
Coach, I want to congratulate you because I've, you know, been to some practices and I've talked to some of your players. And, you know, aside from you being there, I'll ask some of the young ladies, what do you like about Coach Poole? And independently of each other, they'll say, they say this consistently. They say, I like with Coach Poole that I'm not just a number. And these are you know, a lot of them are the transfers. They've said, you know, I've been to some pretty negative places, but to come here to play for a coach who values me as a person, who cares about what's going on in my life off the field as well as on, it's just really refreshing, and that makes me want to play for her. And I know you appreciate that, but you would think that that would be the game of softball countrywide, but apparently it isn't, and good for you.
I appreciate that. You know, ultimately, like, you know, I'm here to develop human beings as well as, you know, get the best out of them that I can. And I do think that there is a certain level of trust that has to happen in that. And it takes effort. Like, I have to make an effort to get to know these young women so that I can figure out, like, what makes them their best version of themselves. Like, where are we missing? Where are we succeeding at? What is important to them? So then we know how to tap into what they're able to give us and why sometimes they might struggle or when they might be struggling, and understanding that today they look a little different than they did yesterday and why, and those kinds of things. And if you don't know those things, it can be hard sometimes to pull those things that you want out of your athletes. And so I do genuinely care about these young women. I care about what's going on in their lives, and I do care about those things. But they make a difference whenever it comes to coaching them and getting something out of them because you do care and because you do understand them more. So you understand how to be there for them and how to get them to work harder for their team, for each other, and all of those things. And they all kind of work hand in hand, and I'm not really sure that you can do one without the other. And so my hope is that I am developing the human as well as the athlete.
And Luke, can I just slide another quick one in here? In pitching-wise, the men, you know, have to have like a staff of 12 deep because, again, the body is not designed to throw the way that they throw a baseball. But in softball, you don't need that many pitchers. So it would seem to me that recruiting pitchers first, last, and everything in between. So?
Yeah, it definitely is. You know, right now, like if you do not pitch well, you just don't have chances to put, you know, your defense to work, and you just don't have, you know, the potential to, you know, be in the games offensively to have a chance. And so the pitching piece of it, it affects everything. And so the recruitment of that, the retention of that, the development of that from a mental and a physical perspective, like all of those things make a difference in how your team does as a whole, no doubt.
Coach, real quick, what's your message to your ladies as you take on Louisiana this weekend?
For us, just really important to believe in your heart and in your head that you're capable of doing this before it ever happens. And we are. We're waiting. Somebody's got to win a series against them. And so we're going to be working to pull that series.
Good stuff. Well, have a safe trip, Coach. Good luck down there. We'll be following the series.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Southern Miss head softball coach Natalie Poole. Her ladies headed to Lafayette to take on the Lady Raging Cajuns tomorrow at 6, Saturday at 4. And Sunday at 12. We'll step aside on the Eagle Hour on this Thursday. Mike Federico, head coach of the ULM Warhawks, joins us after these commercial messages.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
Appreciate Natalie Poole joining us as her ladies get ready to head to Lafayette this weekend. It can happen, Sander. It can happen.
Well, who was it that coined the phrase, why not us? I don't know.
Why not us?
Yeah.
Anyway, good stuff. Second segment of the Eagle Hour brought to you every day by Campus Bookmark, located on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Online, campusbookmark.net, the number one place to go to get all your Golden Eagle swag. Coming in this weekend from the outside, if you need a brand new baseball hat, baseball jerseys, as you watch the Golden Eagles take on ULM, go see them at Campus Bookmark. Well, one Golden Eagle team headed to Louisiana. A team in Louisiana headed to Mississippi to take on the Golden Eagles this weekend. We are very pleased to join a former Golden Eagle, not only player, but assistant, now the head coach at ULM. Mike Federico joins us. And, Coach, thanks for your time today.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me on.
The 2015 Conference USA Assistant Coach of the Year. Also, we had on a former player as well that played for Denson. So at any point in this interview, Coach, if you want to say something against Coach Denson, he listens every day. He'll be thrilled that you mentioned his name, by the way.
No doubt. Got some great stories on him, and I wouldn't be where I'm at if he wouldn't have allowed me to make the team. So I was the sixth catcher and asked to walk on. He's like, boy, you're never going to make the team. And I said, Coach, give me a chance. And maybe it's because I dated Jill, his daughter, for a little while. I don't know what it was, but ended up making the team. So I wouldn't be where I'm at without it.
You guys getting ready to head over and coming off a series win against Texas State at home earlier in the year, beating Coastal Carolina. And what's this team been like? You're right at 500, Coach. What's the 2024 Warhawks?
Yeah, it's been up and down for sure. I mean, that's where you see us. We're 500, a little less than that. And we've kind of been up and down, been banged up with a couple of injuries here and there. But it's that time of year where you just got to persevere through some things with it. But really like this team. Um, they they play hard and they don't give up. And we, you know, typically bring it every day. And that's you know, what we have to do at a place like ULM. We got to do things a little bit different than maybe some other people do. But I'm proud of where we're at and, you know, really love the place that I'm at as well.
Offensively, Bryce Blazer, Easton Winfield. Winfield runs some 13 of 15. Offensively, those two guys leading your lineup.
Yeah, Easton's a freshman. He's a talented kid from Texas, young kid. He didn't turn 18 until the fall of this year. And Bryce Blazer is a transfer from North Carolina. Kind of knew him. He played for a Yallabushi team out of the Senatobia area back in the day. And so we kind of knew him from some different people, but he's transferred in and he's been, you know, instrumental in center field position. And, you know, he hits in the two-hole, five-hole. Sometimes he hits in the four-hole for us as well. He's a little guy, but he's just the epitome of work. He plays extremely hard and definitely fun to be around. And then Easton's just a talented freshman that, you know, has power, has speed, and he's definitely somebody that looks like a Sun Belt player in our lineup.
We had, and I'm sure you saw the box score as well, a little maybe up in the air for Southern Miss rotation this weekend. Mazza threw on Tuesday. Don't know what the Eagles are going to do. Only one of your starting pitchers has started more than six games. So what will your rotation look like this weekend? If it's unannounced, no worries. You don't have to announce the coach, but the regulars.
Yeah, Cam Barlow will start for us. He's a sixth-year senior. He's, you know, he was part of my first recruiting class here. He's been here for a long time, redshirted his freshman year due to injury and then COVID year. So he kind of lost 2 years. He's actually a guy that I was recruiting when I was in Hattiesburg. I've known Cam for almost 8 years now. So he's kind of been a stable, you know, the dude for us for a long time. I think he's got the career starts here at ULM. He's a, you know, 200 strikeout guy in his career, but he kind of leads us, you know, from the front. And then Bo Blanchard will start on Saturday. Bo played at UNO and is a transfer to us this past year. He's a senior. And so, Sunday is just TBA. I think most people just do that. We've got some options, but we run a bunch of pitchers in and out. I think we've got 10 or 11 guys that have 11 or more appearances, and I think we got 19 that have six or more. So we don't keep guys out there long sometimes, so you'll see a bunch of different, you know, array of looks and spins and all that kind of stuff.
Louisiana head coach Mike Federico is with us here on the Eagle Hour. Coach, you said we have to do things differently at Louisiana Monroe. I want to pick up on that thought, because when you look geographically all around you, you've got the La Tech Bulldogs, you've got Nichols, you've got New Orleans, you've got Tulane, you've got schools surrounding you that all have great baseball programs. So when it comes to the player trough, how do you make sure that you guys get fed well enough? What's the strategy recruiting-wise when all of you are fighting for a lot of the same players?
Yeah, it's a challenge. You know, both of our states are pretty similar when you think about it. There's only 3.5 million people in our state, and there's 11 or 12 Division I schools. So that is a challenge. There's not a lot of population with that. Whereas, you know, in Mississippi, there's what, 3 million people and 4 or 5 Division I schools. So it is a challenge. And you'll notice on our roster, I mean, we've got guys from California. We've got guys from the Midwest. You got guys from South Florida. We got a kid from North Carolina on our team. We have to go out. But, you know, the heartbeat of what we try to do is Mississippi, Louisiana, and Texas. When you think about a five-hour radius from here, you've got New Orleans and Birmingham and Memphis and, you know, the Dallas and the Houston area. So we try to, you know, live where the population is.
And I know that you dip into, like, LSU Eunice has a terrific junior college program. You've got some Pearl River guys on your roster, which are right down the road in Poplarville. Junior college system really good in Mississippi and Louisiana.
It is. We don't have a ton of junior colleges like you guys do. It's kind of flip-flopped. We have less JUCOs, and y'all have, you know, more JUCOs, and then we've got more Division I's. But, yeah, we hit the Mississippi JUCOs really well. And, you know, for me, I, you know, got relationships with a lot of those guys from my time being in Hattiesburg and being at Memphis. And, you know, we've had success with them. When you think about the number of Division I schools for the state of Mississippi, you know, we're one of the next closest one in a lot of ways, you know. And it's easy to get to. You know, we had a kid from Vicksburg on our team a couple years ago, and somebody somebody said, man, you don't have a whole lot of local guys. And I was like, well, our catcher's a local kid. They're like, no, he's from Mississippi. I was like, yeah, he's from closer than Shreveport is. So we have to get into Mississippi, and it's been good to us.
Coach, coming to the Pete this weekend, bad news, Danny Lynch is still on the team. Good news is he won't be on the field. But yeah. One of your former players, Travis Creel, will be in the third base box. So many memories when you come back to the Pete, I'm sure.
It is. It's a special place, not only as a player, but then, two times as a coach. I was fortunate to coach with Coach Palmer to get my master's degree, met my wife there, a lot of friends, and then to go back there. My daughter was born in 2011 there. And so, a lot of special times, with all of that. It'll be fun to see, some former people. I'm not looking forward to throw it in the dirt and some of those kind of things, but also have some experience of when I was at Memphis, what it's like to be, on the other team and, those kind of things. But definitely a fun place to play and, what Coach Denson started and Coach Palmer took to another level, and then Coach Berry's, done just an unbelievable job. Oz is the right person to, keep it going, hopefully.
Coach Fitt, I wanted to ask you about your son because, he's a stud and has committed to Ole Miss. Where's the line between dad and coach, and how do both of you guys handle that?
Yeah, for me, I've always been his dad. I've never coached him. A lot of times even out at Oak Grove Optimist Park when he started playing baseball, Jason Hawkins was his coach, and I didn't even go. I would go to practice sometimes, but I didn't really try to mess around with Hayden a lot. I always just tried to give some input to some of the other kids and help, and hopefully he was listening. But for me, he's gotten coached from the likes of Jerry Zuli at Memphis and Chad Kaye and the guys that I have here now. He's been spoiled to be in the dugout and been able to travel to a lot of places. But I'm his dad. We don't really even talk a lot about baseball. I remember leaving Optimist Park many a times and never, I was never the dad that was going to hound him on things. And I remember him driving home one day. He's like, Dad, I said, I'm not talking to you about baseball. I said, you can ask me questions. He said, well, Dad, what are three things that I did well today? And I went through it. I was like, that's pretty, 9-year-old kid asking that. And then he said, what are three things that I did poorly on, and was able to tell him some of those things. So we've had a really good relationship. And even my other son, Bryson's kind of been that way as well. So I don't want to coach him. I want to be his dad and let him make his own choices and decisions.
No, I respect that, but the fact that he chose Ole Miss, Coach, come on.
The recruiting process, a lot of people recruited him, and, he kind of fell in love with that. And some people ask, why that? But he did have ties in Memphis and would hear about, Ole Miss there. And then,
No, obviously.
Plumlee, I think right before we left, Plumlee was going to Ole Miss. So, he's got connections with them. And then, of course, Coach Bianco, I've known him for 100 years as well. But they did a good job recruiting him and all that stuff.
But it was definitely weird. Yeah.
If we ever see you in Ole Miss gear, we will keep our mouths shut. Okay,
yeah.
Coach?
Not unless they're in Omaha. So that's about it.
Good stuff. Hey, Fed, thanks for your time, man. You're one of the best. And good luck this weekend.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
It's Mike Federico, head baseball coach for the ULM Warhawks. Kelly, he said only in Omaha.
That's where I would draw the line, though. I'd say, son, I have bitten my tongue far too long.
Good stuff. So they will be headed out very soon as the Warhawks come in to take on the Golden Eagles this weekend. We're going to step aside. Interesting conversation coming up. Conference seating. Big news out of the NCAA right after this.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Appreciate Mike Federico joining us as the Warhawks of ULM get ready to head east. First game tomorrow, 6 p.m. Saturday, 2 p.m. Sunday, 1 p.m. Just ask real quick, Michael Mergens, who's producing for us today. Michael, there's a chance, you told me yesterday, chance of rain on Saturday, pretty good chance, right?
Yeah, let me confirm that because I'm headed out of town. I've been watching. Now it's down to 50%.
Okay.
But good while deal, we've so. Got Michael Mergens here, who's our music expert, when Luke said head east, there was a band called Head East.
Yeah, from Illinois.
Are they?
Yeah.
Did they tour mainly in the east?
They were more of a regional band. Oh, no, I can't think. The album.
But they had a couple of hits, didn't they?
No, just one. The album was Flat as a Pancake.
Okay.
Was the name of the album. And for the life of me right now, I can't think of the name of the song, but it got radio play.
Yeah.
It's a 70s hit, but they never really broke beyond the regional band.
I'm sure before the end of the segment, Luke, he'll come up with the title.
I can look it up.
Possibly so. Anyway, Luke Johnson, Kelly Center, Michael Mergens on this Thursday, Super Talk Eagle Hour. Third segment brought to you every day by 4th Street. 4th Street Bar and Grill, located just across Highway 49 from the University of Southern Mississippi, home of the $9.95 lunch.
It's actually $10.95 now, Luke.
$10.95.
Yeah, inflation. Finally
the
got it.
Catfish is worth it.
Oh, yeah, you're not
tomorrow.
Kidding.
Yeah. Absolutely. So go see our good friends at 4th Street, proud sponsor of the Eagle Hour.
Never been any reason.
I was singing the lyrics. I didn't realize that was the name of the song.
Okay, there you go.
That's the name of the album of the song.
The song, Never Been Any Reason.
So has there never been any reason to go east? Is that what you're trying to communicate?
Yeah, pretty much.
I wouldn't want to go east.
I got you.
Can I get away with this?
If you are coming east from wherever you are and you come to Hattiesburg for the weekend, eat at Mobe Beignet. Great beignets out there. Coffee, iced coffee, even frozen drinks. Mobe Beignet, they make your beignets fresh when you order. Mobe Beignet on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. All right, we had earlier in the week just a discussion about kind of how, a traffic jam in Sunbelt baseball standings. Currently right now, Louisiana all alone at 14-1. Five teams, count them, five, at 9-6. Coastal, Troy, Southern Miss, Georgia Southern, Georgia State. Several more teams with even records. James Madison and ODU at 7-8. App, South Al, Texas State at 6-9. Kelly, what that probably means is that there's going to be one or more teams tied, possibly going into the conference tournament. So what did we do?
So we had to figure out, okay, what's going to happen in these different seeding situations, because it could be very important, obviously, with only, you would think, three or four teams from the Sun Belt getting an at-large bid. So where
we reached out.
Yeah, to the
conference. We reached out to the Sun Belt Conference. Sam Kynes, the director of communication, was gracious enough to send us this information. Now, apparently, I think this is tiebreakers for basically any sport that has a tournament attached to it. So here's how it works. If there's two teams, Kelly will just walk through the tiebreakers as pertains to baseball, and then we'll come back with real-life application. All right. If there's two teams that are tied, basically it goes to the highest winning percentage, the first tiebreaker, the highest winning percentage of head-to-head competition during the regular season, which means for baseball, because you play an odd number of games, there will never be anything beyond that tiebreaker, correct?
Correct, because two out of three is, 66%.
Right. So, three or more teams, first tiebreaker, is the highest winning percentage of the tied teams against each other, which is possible, but when we get to real-life application, you'll see where we have to move on. Second, each team's winning percentage versus the common opponent occupying the highest position in the final regular season standings. So, real life, here we go. With two teams right now, doesn't pertain to Southern Miss, but if you look at the standings, so James Madison and Old Dominion, they would be 7-8 each, and all you would have to look is who won the series. Make sense?
Yes.
Easy.
I'm with you. Yeah. Two teams is easy to follow.
two teams is super easy. Just who won head to head in a three game series. All right. As we move on, here's the kicker. So, because of the five teams, Coastal, Troy, Southern Miss, Georgia State, Georgia Southern, not all those teams have played each other, so let's just take three of them. Let's take the Eagles, the Golden Eagles, and the Georgia teams, since they have all played each other, okay?
Okay.
So Georgia State, Georgia Southern, Southern Miss, all 9-6. So, obviously, head-to-head, the conference winning percentage is tied. So we go to the first tiebreaker. Highest winning percentage of the tied teams against each other is first considered. Georgia Southern is 5-1 against Georgia State and Southern Miss. So in this scenario, Georgia Southern would be the higher seed. Okay?
Makes sense. I'm with you.
Now, Eagles went 1-2 and 1-2, right?
Right.
The Panthers went 2-1 against Southern Miss, but they got swept by Georgia Southern, which means Southern Miss and Georgia State have the same 2-4 record. So we can't go to that. So now we will move to the next tiebreaker. Each team's winning percentage versus the common opponent occupying the highest position in the final regular season standings, which I read that as you would have to say, who did they play or who have they both played that finished higher than them? So if both teams play Louisiana, whoever finishes first, you say, what's their record against them? If they haven't played that, then you come down. So in this scenario, you would go to Georgia Southern. And guess who would win that tiebreaker? The Eagles.
Yes.
Because they won one game.
And Georgia State got swept.
Clear as mud?
Yeah, but I would think once you saw that Georgia Southern was the higher seed and you only had Georgia State and Southern left, I would think it would revert back to head-to-head. But it's
because they're treating three or more teams as a collective.
Yes, I get that. But that's where there might be some confusion, though. Because obviously, in that scenario, Georgia State would be seeded ahead of Southern Miss. But under the scenario as you read them from the conference, Southern Miss would go ahead of Georgia State.
So if they get past that, then the next tiebreaker is what you said. It's head-to-head out of the collective. When arriving at another group of tied teams when comparing to record, use each team's record against the collective tied teams as a group. So, yeah, there you go.
Ay, ay, ay. It would just...
And if... here's where it gets fun. Keith Gill has the luck of the draw. In two or more teams and three or more teams, the fourth tiebreaker is, if there is still a tie, the seeded position of the teams will be determined by a draw conducted by the Sun Belt Conference Commissioner.
So if Southern Miss leaves on a train at 4 p.m.
yeah, here we
headed
go.
East.
Going 51 miles an hour.
51 miles an hour.
There's not a reason.
What did we? What did
you
we call?
You said headed east.
No,
yeah, there's not a reason.
What did we call those in math class? Story problems?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
They don't do that anymore. It's all the new math.
Yeah, none of them.
Which I get now because my daughter's doing new math, and for once, I actually understand it.
But none of those story problems would ever happen.
No,
you know.
Long and short of it is, we play the hypotheticals here on the Eagle Hour.
Right.
The last 5 minutes, just forget it. We'll do this again the last week of the conference regular season.
But let's just win out. And then let the chips fall where they may. I mean,
I'm all for that.
Yeah,
I just,
of course. And Louisiana is one of those teams that just still have to play. So when you look at the schedule, you know, the Warhawks right now, although certainly capable, they're toward the bottom of the standings. You got Texas State left. They have not had the season that they had hoped for. Now, you still have Coastal, but you have Coastal here, which that helps. So that Louisiana series is going to be important in more ways than one, as we just went through this series of
tiebreakers. You got three out of five that are very winnable. You should win the series this weekend. You should win Archie State, and you should Texas State. You should sweep one, maybe two of those. And it's going to be hard to win the series in Louisiana, but I think what you said earlier in the week, we're really about to find what Louisiana is made of. Because they have not played the top-level teams. I went through it yesterday. I was on Sports Talk yesterday, and a couple stats with Louisiana stood out to me. Number one, they've got 29 wins, which is incredible. 17 of those 29 wins are quad four wins in the RPI, which tells you, you know, they're actually 30-9. I'm sorry. So 17, 18 wins are quad four. But there – is this that band? Are we going yeah. east right now? Yep.
Head east, baby.
So Arky State, Old Dominion, Texas State, ULM, and Marshall. That's their first conference – five conference series, Kelly. There's a reason why they got 14 wins.
And the Eagle, but the concerning to me, the Eagles have only swept Marshall, right?
So right, and to Louisiana's credit, they've only lost one. So yeah. So I'm not discounting them. I'm just saying right. the heat's about to turn up on them.
I'm with you.
Good stuff. All right, NCAA news, and Kelly, you can just kind of give your opinion before we go to the break. This is crazy what happened.
Well, I can sum it up in one noise.
Yeah, we'll talk more about it. Not surprising from the NCAA. We'll get to it right after the break.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Final segment on this Thursday, brought to you by DBAT. On Hardy Street in Hattiesburg, dbathattiesburg.com. When there's rain in the forecast, never have to worry about it at DBAT. Luke Johnson, Kelly Sander, Michael Mergens, who's going east.
He knows every band in the state of Illinois. And your guys from REO Speedwagon are kind of making the rounds here, aren't they? Going to be in Brandon
on
May
1st? Formed in Champaign.
And they're out of Champaign.
Yeah, University of Illinois.
Yeah,
and Head East had connections to them too.
Aren't they coming down to the coast though too? REO
probably.
Somewhere.
Yeah, I met them at a radio convention years ago. Just awesome guys.
And they still are decent.
Yeah.
You know, some bands, it's time to hang it up. Mm-hmm. It really is. But anyway, I know that's not what you came to talk about, Luke.
Now, Michael, if there's one band that needs to hang it up right now, who is it? And you might get in trouble for saying it, so just you can be silent if you so desire.
We talked about Rod Stewart. Does that count as a band?
No worries. No, because I'm going to get in trouble.
Yeah,
don't worry
about
it.
I'm going to mouth it to Kelly, and then Kelly can say it.
Ah, yeah. Well, the lead singer owns a soccer team. Can we just say that?
Yeah.
And he's had some vocal issues. So
we're in the Southern Bancorp Studios. We asked Daniel Stewart who he thinks should hang it up. Yeah, welcome back. Eagle Hour on a Thursday. All right, big news out of the NCAA.
Not yesterday. Even 24 hours old.
Yes. And it involves, guess what two things it involves, Kelly? Just guess.
Transfer portal?
Yeah.
And NIL.
You're batting 1,000. There we go. Yesterday, the D1 Council on Wednesday, which is yesterday, unanimously adopted a package of rule changes, to allow transferring student-athletes who meet certain academic eligibility requirements to, keyword, immediately be eligible at their new school, regardless of whether they transferred previously. It's not final until the meeting concludes today and is subject to ratifying the D1 Board of Directors. So, Kelly, what does that mean?
Well, one of the questions, before I get to that, the question would probably come up, why was this decision made? One of two things. Either the athletic directors wanted it because the NCAA says that they work for the schools and their athletic directors. Well, we all know that athletic directors don't want it. All right. Then the second thing logically would be is they're tired of fighting lawsuits. They're tired of, you know, everything that goes along with limiting somebody's ability to do what they want to do. So that would be my guess as to why this decision came down. But we've heard the term used before, the wild, wild west, that it is unlimited free agency, if you want to put it in NFL terms. Yes?
Because the second aspect to that, the Division I Council on Wednesday unanimously adopted a proposal that allows schools to provide assistance in supporting name, image, and likeness activities for students who disclose NIL arrangements, effective August 1st. Again, it's got to be ratified later today. So it seems as if now the collectives will now be inside the athletic departments, or at least there will be a partnership between the two. It seems as if they're basically allowing the schools now to manage the NIL, which, to your point, makes it free agency, because now it's general management. It's all coming from the same. The people that, you know, that get players out of the portal now are the ones which, in sense, they have been holding the money, you know, contracted out through the collectives. But it looks like the athletic departments will not only be welcoming the athletes in, but they will be the ones that are responsible for the NIL funds. Am I reading that right?
No, I think you're right. And Natalie Poole, the softball coach at Southern Miss, you know, the Southern Miss softball team, for example, because Louisiana is so good and Texas State, you know, they probably have NIL deals going with some of their softball players. But Southern Miss most likely, you know, does not. So that's going to put teams like Southern Miss, you know, in a disadvantage. But really, when you think about that, that's kind of been the Southern Miss moniker anyway, right? The little train that could, you know, the blue collar, the grit, all that kind of thing, the athletes that nobody else wanted. So as far as the type of athletes that Southern Miss is gonna get will probably be the same. But I think this will be another step toward what Will Hall has talked about, that football in particular, sooner rather than later, is going to break away and have to be restructured so that the haves play the haves and the have-nots will play the have-nots, if we can put it in simple terms.
Your initial comment was the athletic directors, right?
Yes.
Good announcement. Jeremy McClain going to come on tomorrow on the Eagle Hour and going to walk us through what this means for Southern Miss. He just confirmed. So that'll be a great interview tomorrow with Jeremy McClain, talking through both of these changes, as well as Patrick McGee with an NFL draft preview. So it should be a good show tomorrow.
Yeah, draft next Thursday night. Of course, it's originating from Detroit. Thursday night, round one. Friday night, rounds two and three. And then rounds four through seven will be Saturday. And it'll be all televised.
Kelly, you're going east.
I'm headed east, actually, to the ATL this weekend.
Is it heading east or going east, Mike?
No.
Head east.
Is the name of the band.
Oh, so you're heading east.
Yes.
Okay.
I will head east.
There's a reason?
No.
Never been any reason.
There's never been any reason. We'll have fun in the ATL.
Music educators on this show as well.
Good stuff. All right, we'll catch you tomorrow. Jeremy McClain, Patrick McGee on the Eagle Hour. Have a great Thursday, and as always, Southern Miss
to the top.
To the sea.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.